Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the Women Offshore Podcast. This is Ali Cedeno.
And Christine McMillan.
We are both experienced seafarers.
And at Women Offshore, we are making waves.
The Women Offshore Foundation propels Women Plus into meaningful careers through access to a worldwide community and professional development resources, while raising awareness amongst industry leaders and decision makers about issues affecting women on the water. This podcast is an integral part of our mission, and we appreciate you listening in.
New episodes of the Women Offshore Podcast are available every Tuesday. Subscribe on whatever platform you like to listen to podcasts on, and be in the know about the latest topics related to diversity, equity, and inclusion within the maritime and offshore industries.
Thanks for tuning in. We have another great episode for you today.
This episode of the Women Offshore Podcast is sponsored by Crowley. Carry the world forward. To learn how you can elevate people and planet with Crowley, check out crowley.com/careers or follow them on LinkedIn and Facebook. Hi, and welcome to the Women Offshore Podcast. Today with me, I have Corinne Bindersky, and we are going to talk about, well, what it's like to work in a male-dominated industry. We're going to start there. So please introduce yourself, give us a little bit of your background, and we'll dive into it.
Sure. Hi, Christine. My name is Corinne Bindersky. I'm a professor of management and organizations at the UCLA Anderson School of Management, which is UCLA's business school. I have done a great deal of research on women firefighters and also women in other male-dominated, primarily public sector firms like police departments, harbor departments, airports, the Department of Water and Power, things like that.
Okay. And so tell us about some of your research. The way that we found you is through your article in the Seattle Times. So can you share a little bit about that with us?
Sure. So starting about a decade ago now, I got access to have an opportunity to start talking to firefighters about their professional experiences. I was actually interested in women joining the combat and special forces in different branches of our military, and found that it was actually very difficult for a non-military psychologist to study active duty military personnel. And a friend who was a firefighter who told me, you know, there are fewer women in firefighting, professional firefighters in the U.S. than there are in the military. And I started looking into it, and turns out, indeed, there are professional firefighters in the U.S. are comprised of less than 4% are women nationwide. The wow. Volunteer service is a little different, but in the professional fire service, it's a very, very, very male-dominated profession and a very masculine profession. And so through that initial point of contact, I was able to gain access to a number of different fire departments, originally all in the Los Angeles area, which is where I live. We have a variety of different fire departments ranging in size from about 50 to 4,000. So we have a lot of variety of fire departments. And I started interviewing women in the fire service and also visiting fire stations and doing ride-alongs and hanging out for meals and just talking to people. And sometimes there were women there and most of the time there were not. And so I not only talked to women in the fire service, but also to men about their perceptions of their current or, you know, anticipated hypothetical future female colleagues. And I learned a lot about the experience of women in that context of what's broadly called in social science research and organizational research, a lack of fit. And the lack of fit is a problem that generalizes beyond just the fire service, any situation in which stereotypes about a person's social group, their demographic characteristics like gender or race or parenthood status or LGBTQ plus status, whatever it is, stereotypes about their social group are in conflict with or misaligned with stereotyped expectations about a professional group or an occupational group. So for firefighters, and I imagine for merchant marines, there's a pretty strong association between masculine stereotypes and professional success. I know for firefighters, a lot of the things that people think about as essential characteristics to be successful are strength and emotional stoicism and courage and mechanical aptitude. And all of these are very highly masculine stereotypes. And so for women, regardless of, you know, an individual woman's personal characteristics, just stereotypes about women are just misaligned with those professional stereotypes about what one needs to be a successful firefighter. And this creates a set of barriers for women in this particular profession and women in male-dominated and highly masculine stereotype professions in general to have to overcome, to prove themselves as competent and, you know, people who truly belong in the profession. And without overcoming those barriers, can experience pretty persistent and significant career challenges and social exclusion.
Wow. Yeah. I think that there's a lot of parallels between the masculine feel of a firefighting house and a ship. And so the message that Women Offshore tries to send to young women that are starting their careers is that they need to bring their authentic self to work. But that's really hard when you're walking into situations like this. Right. And so what would be your advice to young women who are trying to enter this male-dominated industry? Can it be research-based at all or from your scientific background?
Yeah, absolutely. So our research found a few things. And I did this research with a former doctoral student of mine named Felix Danbold, who's now an assistant professor at University College London. And what we found is kind of the way that this lack of fit for women in this male-dominated environment manifested was that the women were just really, people were really skeptical about their abilities and so scrutinized them very, very closely. And this, like I said, sort of created a barrier to success. And, you know, you can think of it as a higher hurdle that you have to overcome to be successful. We were able to reduce some of that gap in expected success in this environment for women compared to men by reminding firefighters or reminding people who are evaluating women or men in the fire service of a fuller set of competencies that were genuinely necessary to be successful as firefighters. So to be successful as a firefighter today, you can't just be strong and stoic and courageous. All of the work is done in teams, so you have to be very team-oriented. You are in a service role. You're serving your community. You're serving people in, you know, really traumatic, during traumatic experiences. So you need to have a high level of emotional intelligence, a very strong commitment to that public service and caring responsibility. And so when we reminded people, like, look, to be a successful firefighter, you want someone who's really holistic, has all of these different characteristics. And you'll notice that those emotional and social characteristics that I mentioned as really essential are more stereotypically female. They align with stereotypes about women. And so if you think about those as really important, then it turns out it's easier for people to recognize the potential success of women in this environment. You're essentially, rather than trying to change the woman, you're changing perceptions of the environment. So you're kind of aligning that initial lack of fit by broadening the definition of what we think of as a successful firefighter or as a successful merchant marine.
Yeah, no, I think that that's a major impact that we need to be changing, not the candidate that's going out for these jobs, but the way that we're defining the job that they do. And I think that that's so critical. And
before we got online here, you talked about there have been some substantial mechanical or technical changes, evolutions in the kind of work that people do on ships that really reduces the physical requirements to be successful at the job. So that's, in firefighting, that's a huge barrier for women, a huge source of skepticism is, are they really strong enough to do the physical aspects of the job? And of course, people need to be strong enough to do the physical aspects of the job. If you can't, you're endangering yourself and your teammates and the members of the community. So there has to be sort of a minimum standard. But once people meet that minimum standard, then what else is important to succeed? And when you think about what else is important to succeed, there's likely a lot of different characteristics that are truly important to success. And also some maybe traditionally very masculine stereotype characteristics that are learnable. Yeah, we talked about mechanical aptitude for an example. Like, there's no reason that women can't learn mechanical tasks as well as their male counterparts. And so some of it is thinking about what's important, what characteristics are important, and broadening the definition. to include characteristics that are aligned with stereotypes about men and women. And the other is to rethink training and development and socialization and say, what are the critical things that we want in our incoming new recruits? And what kind of training adaptations do we need to make to level people up to have the set of knowledge required to really be successful, rather than requiring people to walk in the door with all of those skills?
Yeah, that's good. And I know that my brother, I have an older brother, and he went through firefighter training, and then, you know, he got weeded out eventually. He wasn't big enough, I think, is kind of what it was. But it was never, growing up, it was never something that I thought like, oh, I could do that, because there was no one as an example within my community that was a female firefighter. And I thought that the physical strength required was too much. And I don't think that that's the case anymore. So we got to educate the public about what is out there. And we're doing the same thing within the Merchant Marine and making sure that people know that, you know, they're not hoisting sails and carrying 100-pound loads upstairs anymore. There's mechanical advantage on the ship that they can use. And so they got to bring their whole selves to work. And
I think that's hugely important. I mean, I was in a similar situation where I never even thought about firefighting as a career until I was in my 40s and started meeting firefighters. Like, this is a great job. I wish I'd known about this. You know, if I tried to be a firefighter today, I really would struggle physically. But if I had started in my late teens and 20s, it probably would have been an accessible career goal. So It is about education. It is about exposing young women to role models and challenging some of the assumptions about what kind of person becomes a merchant marine or becomes a firefighter or becomes a police officer. You see the diversity of people who can really succeed. But then it's also about educating those employers to recognize the value and benefit of having more diversity among their employees and what advantages that brings to the crews and brings to the ships in terms of problem solving, in terms of creating the culture that you create, et cetera.
Yeah. And we're on the cusp of that change coming, and Women Offshore is trying to, we're feels like we're preaching to the choir right now of why diversity is important, why inclusion is important. And so having these conversations with the managers of these shipping companies is, we're having them, and it's starting to hopefully sink in somewhere along the way. So we're getting there.
Good. It's probably a long conversation to have.
It is. So thank you so much. Do you have anything else that you want to share with the Women Offshore community today?
Yeah, I would just say for women who are considering joining a male-dominated profession, it is really important that you have mentors and allies within the profession. People who, and not necessarily just other women, but people who are aware of and sensitive to and compassionate about the challenges associated with being a real token minority, and can support you and provide a sounding board, can help you navigate the social and professional environment, can give you career development advice. And they, you know, they believe in you in an environment where you face a lot of skepticism. It's really important that you have people who, you know, believe in you, and that will really make a big difference.
That's amazing. You know, thank you so much. And Women Offshore believes in mentorship. We have a formalized mentorship program, and we love that you just plugged that for us. So thank you so much.
Great. I encourage all your listeners to take advantage of it.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to share some of your research with us. And I hope we get to do this again soon.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to the Women Offshore podcast.
Come back next Tuesday for another new episode.
If you want to propel Women Offshore forward, visit womenoffshore.shop. Make a donation or purchase some swag.
Until next time,
stay safe out there, and we will talk to you soon.